Faz-me nor o jeans
name. It's good to be gathered in his name, in his house, and with his people. Let's open John chapter 14. We'll read three verses from 15 to 18. We take our thought from there and just see how the Lord leads this evening, which way things should go. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 18. Sister Eva is asking for prayer. Please remember her in prayer. This evening also, Sister Deirdre, Brother Brian, they've traveled to Norway this weekend. They were also asking for prayer for traveling mercies. So let's remember them in prayer. John 14, we'll read from 15 up to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, the blessedness, Lord, of your word. Father, we see those words are written in red in our Bibles, Lord, because they're your words. And we know that heaven and earth will pass away, but those words will never pass away. So, Father, we come to bring ourselves just simply this evening under the dominion of your word. And we say unto you as Mary of old, and we say, be it unto us according to your word. Father, a needy people, every single day, how we need you, Lord. Father, the blessedness of your promises, how we need to walk in them, Lord. And Father, our sister is asking for prayer. We do dedicate her to thee this evening. Father, we pray, Lord, for Brother Brian, Sister Deirdre, as they go to Norway. You bless them on their journey. Give them good fellowship there, Lord. Bring them back refreshed in your presence, we pray. And Father, these scriptures we've written, won't you guide us now? Won't you help us? Father, to enter into a fellowship with you. We've come this evening, Lord, with a desire to have communion with you. Father, in the midst of this age, Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. Bless each brother, bless each sister that's here. Them that, Father, looking after the children or people here and there at work, different places. I do pray for them. Watch over your people tonight. Father, be with us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. I'm just going to take a real simple topic from that particular scripture this evening. I'm just going to speak on the Comforter. And I really find it was a real blessed thought to my own soul, because I'm sure that each and every one of us as human beings, how we need comfort. You know, we can see it in this world that there's something that people are looking for, and that is for comfort. People are looking for consolation. People are looking for encouragement. People are looking for something that will minister to them at their point of need. And this scripture that Jesus has given to us, like the prophet says, I'm just going to take some quotes this evening from the message, He careth for you. And just trace it and bring it down the way that the prophet spoke about this particular topic of the Comforter. Because I don't think that there's anybody that could bring it across better, especially in this age, than the way that the prophet brought this across. You know, and he, just taking this, when he speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he says, Jesus speaking about the Comforter, he says, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter. So the disciples already had a Comforter. They had Jesus with them. And Jesus, because he was departing now, he said, I'm going to pray my Father is going to give you another Comforter. And then he speaks about verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So this is something that you cannot receive when you're in the world. You know, the prophet says that he says that you cannot, if you love the world, expect to receive this comfort from God. Because this spirit and the spirit of the world are completely different. If you love the world and the things of the world, it's not possible to have this wonderful experience of the Comforter. This Comforter is to them that don't love the world. They've tried the world and all the substitutes that the world tries to give in the place of the real thing. And they've got tired of those things. And now they're coming and they're seeking for the genuine thing, which is the Comforter. He says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. And the prophet says, I don't understand it. The way they see believers behave and the way that you and I speak of the Bible and speak of the things of truth and the things that God does, the world doesn't understand it. It doesn't know him. It can't know him until it comes out of that dimension and comes and seeks for him in the right dimension. So the prophet says, now, not everyone has this wonderful Comforter. And that's the truth. And you'll see it as you go along and you see now the characteristics of what the Comforter does for a person. The prophet says they don't have it. They refuse it. They reject it because they don't believe in it. And friends, I think you and I should realize this evening that even like the brother was praying, Brother Maxwell was praying there to say, even to hunger, what was it, Brother George? To hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're blessed. Now, for you to have a desire this evening, to desire Christ, to desire to fellowship in the Holy Ghost, to desire spiritual reality, you're blessed even to have that desire. Because the majority of this world doesn't have that desire. They're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. For you and I, we're never satisfied outside of the presence of God. When you go for time and you're not in his presence, you're not in communion and fellowship with him, it becomes, life is not worth living. Like David says, thy loving kindness is better than life. Amen. You know, that loving kindness of God, when you're not having it as a reality in your experience, when you get away from the fountain and you stop drinking from this well of living waters, to the genuine believer, you don't see the purpose in life. You lose everything in life when you lose your communion and your fellowship with him. Why is that? Because you've already tasted and you've seen that the Lord is good. You've already partaken of eternal life. You've already drunk from this well. You've drunk from this fountain at some time. So when now the water supply is cut off, you don't see the purpose of life anymore. But to the majority of the people in the world, and when we were in the world, tonight, getting out to the stadium or getting down to the pub or getting there to the nightclubs or getting out there in the entertainment of the world, it's a satisfaction to them. That's where this world is getting its comfort tonight. Going to the bottle, going to drugs, going into, you know, fornication, all these things, relationships before marriage and all the things that take place. It's because people are seeking for something. People are seeking for something and they're finding their satisfaction in those things. But God never made us in any way as human beings to find satisfaction in anything outside of Him. And you're blessed if you're in a condition that you cannot be satisfied outside of God. It's like David speaks in the Psalms about how he would, how he lost his joy, how he would, you know, wait all night for the morning to come and wait all day for the night to come. And he'd wrestle on his bed and he'd groan on his bed. Why? Because he was separated from God. He wasn't in fellowship with God. He couldn't find rest. He couldn't find that comfort. And that's why the prophet says that. He says, now the people today, the reason they don't receive that, this great comforter of God, he says, because it interferes with their spiritual life that they desire to live. You know, God has something so wonderful and so precious, but you've got to come and get it on His terms. God doesn't come down to our terms. We've got to be willing to say, I've tasted of this world, it doesn't satisfy. I've tasted of sin, it doesn't satisfy. I've run around with my neighbor's wife, there was no comfort in that. I've done the gambling thing, I've tried the drugs, I've tried everything that this world has to offer, and it doesn't satisfy. And then you come to Him on His terms now. And He has the real thing that satisfies. He says, but it interferes with the spiritual lives of people, the way that people want to live. People don't want to let go. People want to hold on to the substitute many, many times. And because we hold on to the substitute, we fail to receive the real thing. And that is really what the devil desires to do in the lives of people. The Bible says that man loves, the world loves darkness more than light. Now, there's something about that. People shrink back from the light. But in the light, that's where you find the comforter. When you get reconciliation with God. When God shines His light into your soul and He shows up the darkness that you're walking in. And then you forsake that darkness. Then you find the real thing. And then you wonder for yourself, why did I put it off so long? Why didn't I come and do this years ago? Why did I chase after the mirage that the world has to offer? All of the false promises that the world gives. Now you'll think, if I can just get money, things will be well. Like Solomon did in the book of Ecclesiastes. And he says, no, he was seeking for comfort. He was seeking for some purpose in life. Then he says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He says, and then I built great gardens and I made beautiful things because he was so rich and he was so wise. And he says, and once I made all that beauty and all that splendor, he said, vanity of vanities, it didn't satisfy. It didn't give him the comfort. It didn't give him the result that it was offering to give to him. So he says, and then I tried mirth and I tried music and I got all the instruments and I got all the entertainers together. And I thought, surely in this, I'll find some sort of a comfort. I'll find some sort of a reason for being. Then he says, at the end of it all, he says, but it was vanity of vanities. All his vanity, he didn't find what he was looking for. It was one of those elusive things that the world keeps offering you something. That if you just get money, if you just get a better job, if you just get a better car, if you just get a better house, if you just get a relationship with that girl or that boy, you know, if you can just get married, whatever that it is, that there's this something that keeps getting offered to people to keep chasing after. But you find that there's no genuine satisfaction. There's no genuine comfort in any of those things. Those things will be fine for a season. A man will get a sports car. He'll enjoy putting the roof down and driving in the sunshine for a season. And everybody looking at him. And for a season, he'll enjoy a sports car. But one of these days, he's going to look at his sports car in the garage. And they're going to say, but hey, there's a better model of sports car. And he's got all his money in the sports car. Or a person gets so involved in sport and they can go down to the stadium and put on the uniform of the teams and go with the banners and sing all the songs. And, you know, for a season, it seems to offer you something. But it's never what you're really looking for. And any person who's genuine and any person who's looking for something genuine knows that that is the truth. Is that there's something inside of the soul of a man and the soul of a woman that is not satisfied by the creation of man. It's not satisfied by anything that you find in this life. Those things can satisfy for a season. They can satisfy in part. But that's not the real thing that the soul of a person is hungering and thirsting after. But a people, because we're born in sin and we're born spiritually blind, we don't realize what it is that satisfies this great thirst that we have inside of us. So we go seeking for this and we go seeking for that. And now we look at other people and think, but that person seems to be happy because they live in such and such a neighborhood and they live in a such and such a big house. Maybe if I can just live in that neighborhood as well, I'll be as happy as them. But you don't know what they are like when they're behind closed doors and when they're lying in their bed at night. You don't know what's passing through the hearts of those people. You find so many of these pop stars in them that they commit suicide. Or they get so much involved in drugs and they become drug addicts. And these film stars, and they're booking themselves in to all of these clinics, these rehabilitation clinics, to try to get cleaned up from the addictions which they have. Now you feel sorry for the people because that addiction which they've received is because they were trying to seek satisfaction from something. And they became addicted to something because there was a thirst in them that desires satisfaction. And the devil pointed them to the wrong thing. And the devil offered them all of these substitutes to try to quench that thirst, to satisfy that desire in the soul of a person. And then they find out that this doesn't satisfy. But instead, this simply puts me in a greater bondage than I was in the beginning. And many of them, they take their own lives. And you find them dying at a young age. You know, the rich dying in their mansions, all the money in the world. But that's not what God made us for. Yes, if you have money, it's wonderful. If you have riches and fame and fortune and you can still walk with God, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But the Bible says, when riches increase, set not your heart upon them. And you find when people set their hearts on those things, it's not the real thing. So the prophet says, he says, man was made in a way that he wants to be comforted. Every single one of us tonight, we want comfort. We want consolation. None of us want to feel uncomfortable in this life. None of us want to feel when we go to bed tonight that I don't really want to wake up tomorrow in the morning. None of us want to go to our homes tonight and have no hope for the future, have no expectation for that which is to come. God didn't make man. God didn't make us to live in that kind of a condition. God wants us to be comforted. God wants us to be comforted, but He's the one who comforts us. And that's where the world is being deceived. He says, but if a man doesn't accept God's way, then he'll make a way for himself. And that's what we see going on there. Let them have their big parade this weekend and show their rainbow flags. What are those people seeking for? They're human beings of the fallen race of Adam, just like you and I. They're seeking for comfort and they're thinking, if I can fulfill the desires of the flesh and get into these kinds of relationship, maybe I'll find some purpose and some meaning in life. Maybe it'll satisfy the longing and the desire that I've got inside of myself. And they go and try this and people go and try that and all kinds of things. The prophet says, he'll try to substitute something to take the place of the Holy Ghost. Because it's only the Holy Ghost that comforts a person. Because He is the comforter. To have a real relationship with God Himself. Not just religion. Not just to know about God. But it's the Holy Ghost Himself who is the comforter. It's the Spirit of Christ. And that is the only thing that brings the real comfort to the soul, which the human beings are, which human beings are looking for. The prophet says, a man or a woman that will not accept the Holy Spirit, won't go God's way, will try to comfort themselves with some vile substitute that Satan will present to them. And friends, that's the world that we're living in. That explains, the prophet there in one paragraph has explained everything you'll read in tomorrow's newspaper. All of the vile things that you see taking place. All of the pornography that you see making people a fortune. All of these other things that the devil is offering to people. And there's a response in people to each and every one of those things. The drug industry. The massive amounts of money. The entertainment industry. Video games now make more money in the world. It's a bigger industry than Hollywood. People are seeking for something. I saw a real sad thing one day when I was watching something on the internet about the digital world. And there was this girl, and she plays this game. You know, these like games where you go into these artificial worlds, and it's multiplayer, and people from all over the world join together in this digital place, and you have your character, and you give yourself a name, and whatever you want to call it, an avatar. And then you have all this fellowship with people, and you do all these adventures. And this girl, when they interviewed her, and they asked her, why do you spend so much time there? You spend every waking hour in that world. She says, because I feel at home in that world. I feel people accept me in that world. And that's a sad thing. That's the devil's alternative to the real thing that God really wants a person to be. God wants you to live in another kind of a world, which isn't real. And when you come to the end of this life, you find that world wasn't real. There was no redemption in that world. There was no salvation in that world. There was no doing the will of God in that world. But the devil has offered something, has built something, because he sees the desire inside of people. He sees that people are seeking to belong to something. People want acceptance. People want fellowship. People want someone to be there who they can relate to and who can relate to them. And instead of seeking it in the midst of the kingdom of God, the devil offers them an alternative. And the alternative is always so well dressed up. It's far more attractive than the real thing outwardly. It looks so beautiful. It's so spectacular on the outside. But when you go beyond the outward appearance of what it is that the devil is offering to the world, there's no substance to it. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't give you what you're looking for. And that's the sad thing. We can run our whole lives chasing after this mirage. The devil playing this game with us. That if you'll just get this, or if you'll just do that, or if you just travel here or travel there, or if you just get these qualifications, or just get this kind of a job, you're going to find the real purpose of life. But no one's ever found a purpose in life in those things. Because God didn't make us in a way that we can find satisfaction in those things. Because God, when he made us that we can only find satisfaction in him. Because he's the only thing that is perfect. He's the only thing that is eternal. He's the only thing that is omnipotent, omniscient. He knows all things. He understands all things. He's everywhere. He can minister to your every need. He knows exactly where you are, exactly what you're going through. He can tell you tonight the thoughts of your own heart. He could tell you that if there was a gift here that could manifest that, it would speak the very desires of your own heart. He knows every thought. And only that kind of a being is qualified to satisfy the deep longing of a soul of someone that's eternity bound. An eternal creature needs something that's eternal to satisfy him. But we try to take these things of time, all these gadgets and all these electronic things that the world has to offer. Each of them have their place, but none of those things can satisfy. And people chase after all these things and spend all their time in all these things. Or people think education is the answer. And people get educated, and 30-something years old, you're still a professional student trying to get more and more and more. And each of those have their place. There's nothing wrong with education. But you quickly find that that doesn't satisfy. That doesn't fill that void inside of the soul of a person. Each of these things is a substitute that the devil will offer to you. Sometimes a genuine desire, but he'll offer you something that's not genuine. The prophet says Satan's just got plenty of these substitutes. He's got plenty. God's got one thing, which is the cure, which is the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Christ, the Comforter. There's just one solution to the soul, but the devil's got thousands, millions of alternatives, millions of substitutes. And he'll try his best. And he's so successful with so many people to keep us busy in these things all our lives. You think of Steve Jobs. He came to the end of his life. It was so sad when I saw it, because I really respected the man for what he did. The man had a real vision and he was an innovator. You know, he really saw what people would need. But the man got to the end of his life, and he had said it in his youth. He says, one thing I fear in my life is that I'll come to the end of my life and I'll just be the richest man in the graveyard. And that's all that he is. He was just the richest man in the graveyard, leaving $6 billion behind. And with all that knowledge that he accumulated, all those gadgets that he made, all the things that he put ahead of the competition, what does it help the man today? He never found that one thing that is required for a person to feel satisfaction in this life. That's why he was seeking for this. He was trying to climb higher and higher in the tree of knowledge. Nangat, there's no salvation. There's no satisfaction in the tree of knowledge. There's only satisfaction in partaking of the tree of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's no other satisfaction, friends. And there's great men like this. Talented people, and the devil gets them to use all those talents, all those abilities. The great musicians with a tremendous talent. They can make a whole audience, tens of thousands of people, spellbound with the way they play, the way they sing, their charisma, the way they command an audience. And if you were there, the hair on your neck stands on end because of the atmosphere, because of the way they can build things up and present things and bring things to a crescendo. And then the next day, where are you? You're back living your old life again. You went into that fantasy the day before, would seem to offer you so much comfort, so much hope. But you get back to the real world the next day and you're facing up to the problems in your life and the fact that one of these days you have to enter through a door that every person enters through, which is the door of death. That you came from somewhere and you're going somewhere. And the devil just tries to keep us busy in all of these things so that we never fulfill the very purpose that God put us here for. And God put this hunger and thirst in us for this comforter because God knows that's the most important thing that we need. The prophet preaches a message, thirst, many times. He says, what is a thirst? A thirst is a painful desire. There's a difference between a hunger and a thirst. Hunger goes away after a while. If you stop eating after 10, 12 days, whatever, you stop, you lose your appetite. You can stop. But thirst never goes away. Thirst just gets worse and worse and worse because your body so much needs water. And this something that is inside of the soul of people is a thirst. God put it there as a warning to us, to tell us in this earthly pilgrimage that we're in, that you need to meet the Comforter before you leave this life. And that's why God made it such a persistent thing in the soul of a person, this desire for satisfaction, this something that people are seeking after. It was the grace of God to put it in us. Because it's a warning to us. If you are not yet satisfied inside of your soul, my friend, I doubt whether you're ready for eternity. Because you've never met the one that satisfies the soul. And the one who satisfies the soul is the same one that judges the earth at the end. So you've got to meet him in this life. And that's how the prophet says there's this thirst in the soul of every person. That the devil wants to pervert that thirst. He wants to get you to try whiskey and try alcohol and try all these things, which are just a perversion. Trying to get you to quench with natural things. The spiritual thirst that God has put inside of the soul. And it's only the Comforter that can satisfy this. And that's why the prophet says God made man in a way that he wants to be comforted. There's something inside of us. Every one of us here tonight, we can try to hide from it. We can try to block our ears. But every one of us tonight, we're looking for comfort. We're looking for satisfaction inside here, beyond the reasoning, beyond our imagination, beyond the natural things of this life. We're looking for something that will satisfy us. Something that will take away our nervousness. Something that will take away that disposition that you're born with. Something that will soothe us. Something that will make us just know everything's under control. Everything's all right. Everything's going to take care of itself. And the devil, he's offering all these kinds of substitutes. And the prophet speaks of all the different things. He says, the old people, they get down for the barn dance. Or the hoedown, like I used to have in America. He says the young people, they're out there with the beatniks, he called them in those days. The rock and roll music. He says they're out there doing all these kinds of things. Or he says, or someone gets to about 30 years old. And this is a common thing in men. A man starts to get into his middle age. And what does he start to think? He starts to think, I haven't sowed enough wild oats yet. I haven't yet fulfilled my purpose. And then he wants to put his tracksuit on again in his 40s. And he wants to slick his hair back like the prophet says. No, he wants to put on his track shoes. He wants to get a sports car. He wants to show that he's still young. What is that? That's a hunger and a thirst inside of the soul of a person for something that's eternal. But the devil perverts it. And then the man thinks, but hey, maybe I'm losing my touch. And he starts now to go after woman though he's married. And he thinks, if I just have a relationship with woman, I've still got what it takes. Then he goes to sow his wild oats at that kind of an age. And it's nothing but the devil trying to get the man to quench a holy thirst. on something which is unholy, something that's going to damn his soul and lead him into hell. That's what the devil does to people. He says, they go and they break their marriage vows, both men and women. He says, what's the matter? It's something they're lacking. You see, these are all the symptoms that we're lacking the real thing. We're lacking the only thing which is we should be seeking in this life, which is the Comforter, which is Christ himself. And he promised to give us the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He says, he is with you and he shall be in you. The Comforter was in Christ, but he says, no, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It's the Spirit of Christ. And friends, that's what every single one of us is thirsting for tonight. And it's good for us once in a while just to go back to that point, to get focus once again as, what am I really thirsting after? You might be thirsting and you might think it's for this, that, and the other. No, 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 my friend. That's all secondary things. The real thing that you're thirsting for is for the Holy Ghost. It's for the Comforter himself to come and reside in that place that God made, which only he can satisfy deep down inside of the soul of a person. He says, then sometimes I'll take to drinking. And after they get older, they go down to the bar room and they try to drink it away. You see what the devil's done? There's a genuine spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, and he tries to offer them another kind of spirit, which is alcohol, a natural perversion of something. The prophet speaks about Jesus being the lily of the valley. And he says, what you make opium from? You make opium from the lily. You take those poppies and that, and then you dry them and you crush them and you make opium. And he says, and what does opium do for a person? He says, it soothes every pain. If you take, I've taken opium before, I've taken morphine and that when I had an accident. And they gave me morphine. It was such a wonderful feeling. It was like you floating on a warm cloud. There's no trouble, there's no worries anymore. But that's just a fake, because once the effects of it wears off, you're back to your problems once again. You're back to facing up to the realities of this life once again. And those things, they're addictive, because each time, in order to have the same experience, you need a greater measure of them. And each time you take them, because it's not natural for your body to have those things, it's destroying your body. It's sending you to the prophet says, to a sinner's grave and a devil's hell. But that opium, it has the characteristics. He says, it soothes every pain. You get opium, everything is calm. Every fear is gone. What is that? That's a substitute. That's a substitute for the lily of the valley. When Christ, the lily of the valley, was crushed, what came out of him was the Comforter, was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the opium that God gives to his people. That's the tranquilizer that people need. That's the sleeping tablet that people need. It's the Holy Ghost. Each of these other things is but a shadow of the real thing. But people don't want the real thing, and we go seeking after all these secondary things. We go to psychologists, we go to different things like that, seeking maybe to find peace of mind, try to find some satisfaction inside of the soul. Because psychology means the study of the soul, the science of the soul. If God made your soul, God is the only one who knows what brings satisfaction to the soul. And a believer who's drank of the living waters, you know what it is to have satisfaction inside of your soul. But friends, it's quite easy to get away from the Comforter. And it's quite easy for the Comforter to get away from you. And then you find yourself in that condition that you're not satisfied even as a believer. And you think, but if I do this or I do that, friends, that's not the answer. If I move here, if I move there, if I run here, I run there, that's not the answer. You know what the answer is. There's something that you experienced once in your spiritual experience. And that was the Comforter. There was a time inside of your life where there was no fear, when everything was under control, where there was a joy, when you'd wake up in the morning and you just knew all is well. I'm just walking with him. Friends, that is the answer to the need of every believer. And all the impatience that we see in the lives of believers, and all of the trouble and the jostling and the hustling and the bustling that takes place inside of our lives, many times it's just a symptom that we need the opium once again. We need the opium of the lily of the valley. We need to go back and get a good, fresh, clean drink of the living waters once again that come from the real well of Bethlehem, who's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will satisfy a believer, and then you'll sit and you'll be satisfied. It doesn't matter what else is happening. It doesn't matter what other people say, what other people do. You found something that satisfies. You found something that gives you rest. And that's why he says, why do we turn to all these other remedies? He says, why? He says, people searching for something. They're looking for it. He says, and the church has failed to give it to them. Because people think maybe in religion I'm going to find the answer. And they go and there's just form and there's tradition. And there's no comfort in form and tradition. There's only comfort in relationship. That's the only thing. And they go and they're seeking for this. There's something inside of the soul seeking for this comforter. And the prophet says, but the church doesn't show them what it is. Doesn't point them. He says, the church is okay, but the point church can only point you to the cure. Can only point you to Christ. He says, and finally, what does it end up in if you keep doing those things? He says, murder, suicide. A man gets a date with his neighbor's wife, or he breaks up some home or some woman. You think you're getting by, but he says, one day there'll be a pistol against your head, or you'll jump off from a scaffold somewhere in suicide, or you'll kill yourself, take poison, or you'll take dope or something, and go into a miserable condition, and go to a devil's hell, because you've rejected the real cure. And friends, every single person, when you get to the end of life's journey, we're going to testify of that. There's going to be two groups of people, those who accepted God's cure, those that tasted of the comfort, and those that didn't, those that rejected it, and tried going their own way and accepting all the substitutes. But at the end of this life, you're going to find that was the only way. That God had given us the most precious thing that he could. But people rejected that and went seeking after the devil's substitute. The prophet says, we've got a cure. Calvary is that cure. Christ is the cure. He's the only cure, the only foundation, the only way. Then he says, church is okay, but church can only point you to him. But you got to meet him. You got to find him because he is the one. He is the comforter that the Father promised to send, the Spirit of Christ. He's the only one that can satisfy the soul. He says, the only comforter, the only one who knows how to care for us. He says, because we can't even care for one another. And is that not the truth? We try our best, but we can't care for one another. There's going to be times where you can't care for me. I'm going to be lying there with my questions and my doubts and my fears. And you're not going to be able to answer them. No matter how much you put your arm around me, no matter how much you might say, I'm praying for you, brother. But there's certain things, certain parts of this journey you've got to walk on your own. And the other person can't comfort you as much as you would like that comfort. But he knows how to comfort us, friends, because he cares for us. He knows where we are. The prophet says, man wants to take the short routes, the shortcuts. There's no shortcuts here, friend. If you're looking for comfort tonight and you think, I'm going to go down to the bar there. I'm going to go and get so drunk tonight. That's a shortcut. But there's no answer in the shortcuts. He says, what makes him do that is because God, when he made man, he didn't make man to do that. He made man to be happy. He made man to have satisfaction, to be comforted. God doesn't want his children to be uncomfortable. Now really think about that. If you're not comforted tonight, if I'm not comforted tonight, God doesn't want us to stay in this condition. God didn't make man. Think of Adam in the beginning. Adam, in his soul, he was one with the comforter. The comforter was one with Adam, and Adam was one with the comforter. Adam never worried any morning when he woke up, is there going to be enough food? Is there going to be a storm that's too big for me to still? He never had a worry. He never had a fear. He never had a care. It was just perfection in paradise. Why? Because that part of man that God created in the soul to be comforted, where God the Comforter could take his throne, God was seated on the throne. But when Adam fell now, and sin entered in, and man was separated from the Comforter, Adam now starts to try to fend for himself. Now comes the fears and the worries and making provision for the future and all the things that we do as fallen people. And many of the things, there's nothing wrong with them. But every one of these things is a symptom that we've fallen. Things aren't the way that they should be. And man got away from it. Now the prophet says God doesn't want his children to go uncomforted. Then he gives a very simple example. He says, you mothers. He said, let's say you had a child in the middle of the night and you knew your child was sick. Maybe your child had a fever. Then you knew by going to that child with a cloth, a wet cloth, and by wiping its brow would comfort your child. He says, even though your body itself may be racked with pain, you may have the fever yourself, but because of the love that you have for your child, you would get up and sit the whole night by the bed of your child to bring comfort to your sick child. He says, how much God? He says, you'll do that for your child because that child is an extension of your life. The prophet says, how much more is the church? It's the life of God on earth. So God wants to comfort us, friends. Friends, I've learned today in my Christian life, when we're not comforted or when we're not receiving the provisions that God has made, God is never to blame. God has made the provision. God has the desire. God has expressed the desire, revealed the desire, demonstrated his desire time and time again. It's us, we the ones to blame. We don't want to go God's way. We don't want to just go so simply and so humbly and just receive it the way that God gives it. We think we've got to do this, that, and the other. We've got to manufacture this. We've got to do these works. We've got to, you know, leap such a height, or we've got to swim such a depth, or we've got to do some great thing. No, friends, God made it so simple. It's just a surrendered heart. That's all that God wants. Because we're his children and he wants us to be comforted. He doesn't want us to be in that kind of a condition. Amen. But he says, but how would you feel if wiping the forehead of your child at night, trying to give your child comfort, he says your child would spit in your face and say, get away from me, and would reach for a bottle or something, whiskey or alcohol, and try to drink that to comfort themselves. When you're trying to offer the comfort because you're the parent and you love that child, and the child will turn away from the provision, from the very thing that you're trying to do for them, and would rather choose their own way of finding comfort. He says that's exactly what the world is doing to God. And God sends his only son, and God crushes him on Calvary so that the life that was in him, the comforter that dwelt in him, could be released and come back into the souls of his people. Then God offers that to us, and God shows us the way. But you don't want God's comfort. We'd rather go and seek the comfort of the world. We're doing exactly the same as when our child would reject us in their time of need. When we're doing our best at the greatest of cost, at the greatest of sacrifice, to try to minister comfort to them in their time of need. And friends, that is exactly what we did. That's what we did in the world before we accepted Christ. When the Lord would come and knock on the door and say, I can sort it out for you. I can take care of your life. You don't have to worry about these things. I know what's best for you. What do we end up doing? We end up blocking our ears and going after all these things and hurting ourselves time and time again and piling up disappointment after disappointment until finally one day we just say, Lord, it's enough. I surrender to you. And then he comes in and he gives you that comfort and he gives you that leadership and he gives you that purpose and he shows you who he is. And you say, but how could I have rejected that this all of these years? This most precious of things that can be given to a person. How could I have turned him down for so long? And then you look at the fallen race of Adam and you see them doing the same things that you used to do. On a Friday night out there in the nightclubs and the discos having a good time and then from there going and committing all the acts that people are going to do tonight. And friends, you can't condemn them because we used to do the same things. They just need the same thing that you and I received. And friends, many of us, we need to just to go back and have a fresh drink and a fresh experience and a fresh dose of this opium once again to bring this comfort that God has reserved for us back into our lives once again. The prophet says, he cares for us. When we do that and we turn to other remedies, he says, there's many remedies, but there's one cure. And that's Christ. And he says, and Christ is the cure. He cares for us. He loves us. And he, wants us to come to him. God made us that way. That holy thing that's in us. So that thirst, which people are trying to satisfy out there today in immorality, in entertainment, in worldly things, in sin. That's a holy thing that God put inside of each and every one of us. That's God's provision that he put in the soul of his creation. Even when man fell, God knew that thirst will still be there. That gap, that emptiness will still be there. That place that only I can fill, God made sure that it was still there. And people, everything that we see out on those streets tonight and everything that we'll see this weekend and all the things that are taking place round and about, it's just the attributes of people trying to satisfy that something, that holy thing that God put inside of the hearts of human beings. Because God wants us to seek him. So they can be comforted. He then goes on and says, God gives a man a wife to comfort him. And he says, that's a good thing.
He says, when you come home tired and you're weary and you don't really know, you don't really want to carry on anymore, and you sit down in the chair and your wife comes down and sits by you and she pats you on the back, or she kisses you welcome and she speaks soothing words to you, it comforts you. That's a wonderful, that's a provision. That's one of God's comforters that he does give to us. He gives us a good wife. He gives us a good husband. He says now he gives us friends. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, if somebody's in the Spirit, that's a comforter to us. That's not the comforter, but that's a comforter. And we should appreciate the comforters that God gives to us to comfort us in the measure and in that particular part of our lives that God gives us friends for, to minister comfort to us. He says we should have friends. We should have brothers. It's good to go to a good friend in time of trouble and say, oh, friend of mine, certain thing has happened. Don't you love those kinds of people? That you can just sit down and say, hey, brother, hey, I've just had enough. I just don't know what to do anymore. And there's somebody that can sit, and the prophet says it so well. He says, and a good, trusted friend to sit down and talk with you. That's wonderful. That's of God. Just says, like your wife is of God, or your husband when you're true. He says, but man in his fallen nature, he wants to seek the substitutes. And he says, God gives a man a good wife. And man, what does he want to do? He wants to get another wife. And then he wants to get another. And he wants to take another man's wife. And he thinks that's going to satisfy him. Because he's not finding satisfaction where he is. It's not out there, the answer. It's not those things that's going to satisfy. The problem is in here, friends. And until we realize that it's an inward problem, it's a problem because that place that God has designed isn't yet full to the measure that it needs to be filled. And that all these things that you're doing are but manifestations of that desire that God has put inside of us. But man, the devil leads man to go and seek perverted things, to try to fulfill that desire. And he says, and even all of these comforters, our wives, our husbands, our brothers, our sisters in Christ that God has given to us, when it comes down to the end of the journey, and we're pressing a pillow against our fevered brow and we're dying, what can your wife do? Your wife can only just stand there, and the tears running down her face and her eyes looking up towards God. Your friend, what can he do? He can pat you on the shoulder. He can shake your hand. He can stand there wringing his hands because he can go no further. But the comforter that David said, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So friends, we need this comforter. It's wonderful to have your mother and father comfort you. It's wonderful to have your husband or your wife. It's wonderful to have your brothers and sisters comfort you. But friends, that comfort only goes so far. God's made it that comfort only ministers to a certain portion of this desire that we have. Because God is the one. He wants to be the one that we continually desire and look to fulfill that great desire, to fulfill the great need that we have. And once that desire has been fulfilled and the comforter has come in, even in death, you're going to find that he'll comfort you. When you're lying there on your deathbed and you can't even speak anymore. I was reading of it the other day of one Christian man who was speaking about an old sister that was lying, dying in the bed, and she couldn't even remember anything anymore. She wouldn't even respond to her name. And then he spoke the name of Jesus. And that old sister said, I know him well. He's been my joy the last 50 years. When she couldn't speak anything else, she couldn't even recognize her children, she couldn't recognize her family, but at the name of Jesus. Because she had met the comforter during the days of her pilgrimage and walked with him. He said, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you won't have to fear any evil because I'll be with you. I'll be in you right to the end of the world. Friends, how can we not want this comforter? How can we desire to satisfy this, to substitute it with anything else? It would be the most foolish thing, the most insane thing that a person could do. But human beings without Christ, we're insane, friends. We do things that don't make common sense. And if God can just help us to realize that. The prophet then goes and says, why is it that man thirsts and hungers? Because he was made and created with that little place for God to dwell and to comfort himself. But he shook himself away in sin and now the place is vacant. And we can all testify that. That's why we find all these beat mix and stuff, you know, all that music had in those days and the Beatles and so forth. He says, and them growing all of these things, marijuana and all the drugs which they were growing at that time. And he says, it's because they're trying to find something that satisfies. And he says, let me say this tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's nothing will satisfy like the coming of the power of the Holy Ghost. That'll change your life and your attitudes and give you comfort and eternal life. And that is the experience of any believer that's here. Friends, even the message, it's a wonderful thing. It'll give you comfort to a certain measure. But unless you've got the Holy Ghost himself in you, that message can only comfort you to a certain measure. You can take the Bible. It's a wonderful, it's God's word. But it can only comfort you so far. You need the comforter himself to be with you and to walk with you and to minister to those needs that none of these other comforters can fully minister unto and to take you all the way. When the rest of the comforters that God has given can't take us any further, because they can only take us so far. Just coming to a close, he says, if you have cares, cast them on him, because he careth for you. He says, one leads to eternal death, this leads to eternal life. And a man is made so that he could want that comforter. He's wanting a comforter because he was made that way. That's the way that God put us together. He built the rooms in man, in his soul. And in this little room of something to make him happy, to give him consolation, to take away weariness and nervousness from him, God wants to sit there with the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing that can bring us comfort. And friends, as any believer here will say, what a wonderful comforter he is. How many times he's comforted you? When your loved ones passed away, I remember when my mother passed away, just the comfort the Lord gave me. It was incredible. The peace that passes all understanding. When you go through certain trials and certain troubles, and you think you can't take it anymore, then you find that he's there. And he ministers deep within the veil to your soul. And you just lay in his presence, and you just let off the pressure. And you just speak to him, and he can comfort you when other people can't comfort you. When nobody else understands, he's going to understand. Then he finishes off and he gives a few examples. And they're very good examples that he gives. He says, first of all, he says, he cares for you. Now, we know he cares for you. Let's look for a few minutes if he cares for us. He cared for the leper. You'll find that in Matthew 8. There was a leper. And the prophet explains it so well. He says, Jesus, the comforter, he cared for the leper when he was here on earth. There sat the leper. He says, did you ever see a leper? White with leprosy, sitting there where nobody would touch him. Because a leper was unclean in the days of the Bible. No one cared for the leper. No one wanted to do anything for the leper. Get out of my way. You wouldn't go anywhere near a leper. But Jesus cared for the leper. He says, down in the slime and the dirt and the filth of the street, about as low as he could be. What could be lower than a leper in those days? He was unclean. He had to, when other people would come, he used to have to shout, unclean, unclean, so that people wouldn't come in contact with him. He was an outcast, as low as he could be. He was an outcast. He was a castaway from the society of the city, from the society of the church. He couldn't go into the temple. He couldn't go into the city. He couldn't go into the homes of his relatives. He had to just live on his own or live with other lepers, trying to seek some sort of consolation, some sort of comfort, begging from the people to make a living. Imagine a person in a condition like that. Would you care for him? As a natural person, you wouldn't care for somebody like that. It's going to take Christ in you to care for somebody like that. He says, no one wanted nothing to do with him. If they did anything, they'd throw him a piece of bread and let him get it in the dirt. They wouldn't go near him. But Jesus cared for him. He walked right down with him and sat down. Oh, he says, I can just see him lay his hands upon him. The Bible says that. And the man, he brought his cares to Jesus. And Jesus says, what can I do for you? And the man says, that I might be whole. And Jesus says, I will be thou whole. And Jesus sitting down with a leper and laying his hands upon a leper showed comfort and gave comfort and ministered to the leper when nobody else could minister that comfort. Friends, is that not what you need in our lives? That's what we need in our lives, is that same Jesus who did that is alive tonight and wants to minister to our needs as well. He says, Jesus cared for him. Oh, he cared for him. when nothing else could care, he cared. He says, in one day there was an old blind beggar. There was Bartimaeus. Sometimes we think of Bartimaeus as being some well-dressed sort of a guy. He was a beggar. He was, listen how the prophet says, with his sleeves all torn, whiskers all over his face, nothing to eat, sitting by a gateside one day begging. He was a beggar. Imagine we walk through Dublin, we see the beggars. We walk through our town, then you see the beggars sitting on the street. And they're dirty people and they're smelly people and they're not dressed properly. Friends, they're not people that somebody naturally would care for. You want to walk on the other side of the street if you're just a natural person. But imagine Jesus. He cared for that man. He cared for the beggar. When nobody else would go and be a comforter, Jesus went down to where the man was and he was a comforter. Imagine, and he's the same tonight. It doesn't matter how low you've got. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. He'll meet you in your point of need. If you're just willing to humble yourself and say, Jesus, you're the one that I need. I need this consolation. I need the comforter. I need this something, Jesus, that I see in the Bible, that it changed the lives of people. I need this because I see it in people around me, that it changed their lives. Jesus, I need the reality of this. And if he was willing to go down, right down to the beggars. Imagine, won't he come to you? Won't he come to me tonight? If you're looking with honest hearts and we're desiring comfort and consolation, and we've got cares and we want worries, can't we cast those cares on him tonight? Can't you put them on him? And he'll minister to us exactly where we are because he cares for us. Now, the prophet says, when Jesus heard him saying, Bartimaeus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He says, would a man of caliber, would a president or a mayor or the governor of the state stop for such a man as that? The world would just pass them by. But Jesus stopped. The Bible says Jesus stood still. Amen. And Jesus called and said, bring him to me. What will you that I do for you? And the man cast his care on Jesus. And he said, that I might receive my sight. And when he cast his cares on Jesus, Jesus comforted him and says, go, be it unto you according to your faith. Your faith has made you whole. And the man received his sight. And that's the same Jesus, the same caliber tonight. He says, seldom will you find it, but Jesus cared. And then he finishes off with the woman at the well. He says, what an immoral woman. He says, she was so immoral, like a prostitute. So immoral until the woman of the city wouldn't touch her. She was an outcast. She had to come out and get the water, but she had to wait until the middle of the day because she couldn't come with a decent woman. Imagine, if you think of that kind of a woman, you think of that kind of a person who's married 5 times. The one you're living with now is not your husband. She's broken up home. She's immoral. She's got that upon her. But Jesus still cared for her. Jesus still wanted to give comfort to her. Jesus didn't want her to stay in that condition. And as long as she was looking for deliverance from that condition, Jesus was going to minister to her because he cares, because he's the comforter. She couldn't come with the decent woman. Nobody would have had anything to do with her. She'd been married, had a bunch of husbands, now living common law with a man. Nobody cared for her. They were all too stiff and starchy. But he cared for her. He cared for her so much that he told her the secrets of her heart. And then he gave something, put something in her that so changed her that she ran into the city and said, come and see a man who told me everything that I've done. Is that not this the Messiah? You see, that's what makes him great. Friends, that is the greatness of Christ. He said, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what society thinks about you. He's the comforter. He doesn't discriminate. When he sees the soul of a person desiring comfort, when he sees the soul of a person desiring to be filled with the comforter, and just coming humbly before him and saying, Jesus, I want to cast my cares upon you. That's when he reveals himself as the comforter. And I believe that he'll do it tonight. He gives one more. Sorry, there's one more. He says, when you lose your loved ones, he cares. Then he speaks of the widow of Nain. And imagine, in the Bible it says that this woman came out of the city, and it says, and it was her only son. It was the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. That's a sad situation. Who's going to look after this old mother in her old age now? All the years she's looked after her son, and she says, but God's given me a son, at least in my old age. When I can't work anymore, my son's going to look after me. And then is taken away in death. And here comes the mother with her only son. And now she's a widow. She doesn't have a husband. And now he has the son. And now she doesn't have a son anymore. And here he is lying on the bier. And the prophet says, one day Jesus, so weary in his way, he could hardly walk, hardly go. But there came a band from the city, a funeral procession. And a mother frantically throwing her hands in the air and wringing them, oh Jehovah, why did you take him? He's my only son. He was tired and he was weary, but he cared for that poor little heartbroken woman. The Bible says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, weep not. Friends, that's the comforter. And then he ministered to her in a time of need, right in the point of need. And he went and he touched the bier, and the young boy, the boy sat up, and he gave him back to his mother. Amen. That's the comforter, friends. That's the reality. Why should we be seeking for anything else tonight? Why should we be seeking for anything in this world? This world's let us down time and time again. And it's never going to stop letting us down. Our worldly friends have let us down time beyond measure. Why do we keep going back to them? Why not come to the comforter? And what does the prophet say? We love about one another. We love the Christ that's in one another. We love the comforter that's in one another. That's what we love to fellowship with. I love to fellowship with the comforter that's in you. That's what you find in genuine Christian fellowship. So he walked over to the carriers that carried the casket and he touched it and said, son, rise. Why? Because he cared. He understands. Now, by his life, we know that he cared. And then that life was spilt on Calvary. And then the comforter came out of that earthly tabernacle. And on the day of Pentecost, God came and baptized his church with the comforter. And then Peter and John would be walking there and they'd see the man. And they'd say, silver and gold have we none. Have compassion on the man. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Friends, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'd really say it, friends, that's the greatest need. Not only in the world, it's the greatest need amongst the believers at this time. Is the comforter once again. Is to once again partake of that opium of the lily of the valley. Once again go and drink from the bosom of El Shaddai. To nurse strength from him once again. The prophet says that baby, when the mother's trying to comfort that baby. And the baby can't be comforted. And it's kicking and it's fussing and it's crying and it's squalling. What do you do with it? She just puts it to her breast. And when it starts to nurse from the mother's breast, as it nurses in the mother's milk, the divine provision that God has given for the needs of that baby at that age, starts to nurse in that warm provision of milk, mother's milk, it starts to calm down. And you start to find its whimpering stops. After a while it'll be drinking, after a while it'll fall asleep. And he says, God is El Shaddai, the breasted God. And he says, God said to Abraham, Abraham, while you're waiting for the promise, come and nurse strength from me. And friends, we need to nurse strength from him while we're waiting for the promise. We need to come to him, not to a mediator, not to a mediatrix, not to anybody else. We need to come directly to him. And we need to nurse strength from him at this kind of a time so that we'll settle down once again in his presence, settle down once again in his program, and that we'll go forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how the prophet called the message, He Cares For You. He preached another message called, He Cares, Do You Care? And it's a very good message as well. And he says, if Christ so cared for you, let me turn around. Do you care? Do you care that Christ cares for you? What are you going to do with it? When I know that Christ cares for me, it makes me care. Because I want to be a partaker of all the things that God has made a provision for me. Because God knows that I need those very things. And me inside of my own soul, when I sit down and I get quiet before God, I testify inside of myself that it's true. I need those things. You need those things. We need his comfort. We need his strength. We need his divine provision. Every step of the journey. And the moment we think we can do it ourselves, we find out that we can't. And the moment we think we can be someone without him, we quickly find out it's a very disappointing life. Because we only find ourselves in him. Because he is our satisfying portion. And friends, tonight it's 9 o'clock. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord once again and seek this comforter once again. This comforter deep down inside of the soul is such a personal thing so that when you come back on Sunday, there's a difference. When you get in the song worship, there's a difference. When you get in the word on Sunday, there's a difference because you're back in fellowship with the comforter once again. Maybe we can stand. Just ask Brother George, let's sing that song, He Careth For You, in sunshine or shadow. He careth for you. And then let's put these petitions before the Lord. If anybody else has any other requests, does anybody have any requests this evening? Just let's pray for Dermot's wife. Let's pray for that man, what's his name? His wife with cancer? Stano, Nahanka. She's got cancer. She was asking Brother Tom to come as well to pray for at the house. That one there, yeah? So let's pray for her. She really has a need. Let's pray for Sister Charlotte's brother. He's very sick. Let's really put that petition before the Lord as well. Let's pray for Dermot's wife. Tony is saying she's not well. She's got only got a few months to live. Let's just pray that the Comforter will visit her. In a vessel of a believer, or in a vessel somehow, or God himself doing his work to bring comfort to her, because she has a need inside of her. So let's sing this song. Let's put ourselves before the Lord before we dismiss.
He careth for you, my brother. He careth for you. Through sunshine or shadow, He careth for you. Oh, He careth for you,
my sister.
He careth for you.
He careth for you.
Sunshine or shadow, He careth for you.
He careth for you.
He careth for you,
my brother.
He careth for you. Sunshine or shadows, He careth for you.
He careth for you.
For me.
He careth for me.
For you.
He careth for me.
For you.
Sunshine or shadow, He careth for you.
Oh,
He careth for me,
my brother.
He careth for you. Sunshine or
shadow,
He careth for you.
Let's sing it once more, saints.
He careth for me,
oh my sister.
He careth for you.
Hallelujah.
Sunshine or shadows, He careth for you.
Let's not forget Sister Eve. She has a request saying, please pray for her this night. Let's pray for them that are traveling as well. Let's pray for the Sunday service. Let's pray for fellowship one with another. Let's seek the Comforter to take His place, His rightful place in the midst of His church. Let's all pray and seek the Lord. Father, we do appreciate and thank you, Lord, once again that we can come into your house. Father, as your people, that we can look unto thee and call upon thy name. Father, that we can sing the song, Lord Jesus, that you care for us this evening, Lord Jesus, for your kindness, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. Father, Lord, I just do look unto thee. I just want to wait upon the Lord to bring it all before thee at this time. Give us traveling mercies, Lord. Watch over us, Lord, I pray, as we look unto thee, Lord, at this time. Let's just sing that chorus a few more times, Brother George. Maybe we can ask Brother Jose, do you mind closing for us in prayer, Brother Jose? Let's sing, come into a bit of a time of worship, then we'll call Brother Jose to close. Let's just stay in prayer one for another. May the Lord grant traveling mercies. May the Lord grant us a good weekend. In Jesus' name.
He careth for you. He careth for you through sunshine or shadows. He careth for you.
He careth for you. Shadow, he careth for you.
Dear Heavenly Father, once again we're so grateful that you have given us the opportunity to come tonight and gather in this place.
Amen.
Dear Father, it's not because of any good that we have done. It's not because that we are better than those that are out there. But because of your grace, because of your mercy, because you are the great comforter. And you looked upon us, you looked at the condition in which we were. You remembered us and you came and gave your life because of us. That's why we came tonight to worship and praise your holy name, because we know that without you we are nothing.
Amen,
without
Lord.
You our life has no purpose.
Amen.
Being on this earth, and
Amen,
we're so
Lord.
Grateful that you came in a humble way.
Amen.
With a great and powerful message such as
Amen,
this
Lord.
One.
Thank
we're
Lord.
So grateful that we
Amen.
Are privileged people to hear
Amen.
These things
yes,
that the
Amen.
Great men of this word
Amen.
Don't have the opportunity to hear.
Yes, Lord.
Our
yes,
Father
Lord.
And our God, we ask that this word
Amen.
Does not return to you without accomplishing
yes, Lord.
The purpose for which you have sent it.
Amen.
And you've
Amen.
Sent it
Amen.
So that we can... So that your image can be seen in us.
Yes,
that's
Lord.
Why we're so grateful that we heard these things. That let
yes,
us not
Lord.
Forget these things that we've heard, but
Amen.
These things can transform our lives. And
Amen.
Every
yes,
day
Lord.
That we live,
Amen.
Every day that we walk, we
yes,
want to
Lord.
Be
yes,
closer
Lord.
And closer to you
yes,
as
Lord.
The days are approaching.
Amen.
We commit all the requests that have been submitted
yes,
tonight in your hands. We
yes,
know that
Lord.
You are the great healer.
Amen.
You can descend in the midst of us. You've done many things in our midst before, and we know that you're the same God, and
Amen.
You do not change. While we present those requests in your presence, we ask that you come in a mighty way, visit
yes,
each and every one of us
Amen.
Who's being afflicted by the disease, even if
Amen.
We call it disease, but we know that it's the devil that
Amen.
Is
yes,
coming to trouble the peace that you have given to your children.
Yes,
so we ask that you, those that are affected, that are afflicted tonight, can come and stand here and give a testimony to God.
Yes, Lord.
And we're so grateful that you are in the midst of us. We
yes,
commit
Lord.
All these things in your hand as we are about to separate each other.
Amen.
Keep us on the way.
Please,
and
Lord.
When we meet again, we want to glorify and praise your holy name.
Yes,
in
Lord.
Jesus Christ's name, we commit these things in your hands. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother. Let's sing one more song as we dismiss. Let's sing that song, Far Away in the Depth of My Spirit Tonight. There's a melody sweeter than some peace, peace, wonderful peace. I'll just give a real short testimony just to show sometimes the prayer of a child can be very powerful. You know, yesterday, Rachel went to school and she had such a temperature at school that Katana had to go and pick her up in the morning. And so when I got home in the evening, she had such a temperature. She was burning up. So she was just lying in the bed and she was so hot on that. And it came to about bedtime, about 9:30, and we knelt down together to pray with them. And Rachel was saying, Daddy, I so much want to be better tomorrow so I can go, because today was the last day at school and they had their party. So I said, Rachel, if you will pray and you ask Jesus and you say to him, Jesus, please, I want to go to the party tomorrow. Please make me better. Jesus understands. You know, and I was reading this message and I said, Jesus cares for you. You pray. And then she prayed. And then I said to Daniel, I said, okay, Daniel, you pray for your sister as well. And Daniel, he really prayed a good prayer. And I said, Jesus, if you can please touch Rachel so she can go to school. I went to bed. It didn't take an hour. Rachel Amen. Got out of bed and she came to me. Says, Daddy, I'm better. And she didn't have a time. She went to school today and she went to the party. And she Amen. Came back from school and she was rejoicing. And I said to her, I said, you see, it's simple. I said, it's not a complicated kind of a thing, but it was just so instantaneous. Yeah? We as humans, we're going to think she was going to be 2-3 days in bed like normal. But you find it was really the grace of God, because he saw the desire of a child and he cared for her. And he saw she wanted to be there on the last day. And I told her, I said, Jesus cares for you. And if you desire that, why don't you ask him? And the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes, you know, God, he perfected praise. And it's a real wonderful thing. So I really appreciated the Lord for that.
Amen.
It was a wonderful thing. Let's sing the song and dismiss, and God bless you.
Far away in the depth of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial like strains it unceasingly falls. Oh, my soul like an infinite calm.
Oh, yeah.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In the fatherless pillows of love, what a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away. While the years of eternity roll, oh yes, peace, oh, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In the fatherless pillows of love, I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and his glory is flooding my soul. Oh yes, peace, wonderful peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In the fathomless billows of love. And methinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see. That one strain of the song which the ransom will sing, in that heavenly kingdom shall be. Oh, peace, wonderful peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In the fathomless billows of love, our soul, are you here without comfort and rest, marching down the rough pathway of time? Make Jesus your friend ere the shadows go dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace.
peace so sublime. Oh yes, peace,
peace,
wonderful peace, wonderful peace,
coming down from the Father above,
sweep over my spirit forever. I Father, these pillows of peace, 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 wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever. Fathomless pillows of love.